Well, before I read the kid's story and send everybody off, I'm actually going to call Stephanie up to the front here. Now, for those of you who may be unaware, come on up, Stephanie. Don't be shy. I know you're not thrilled with this part, but it's going to happen anyways. Yeah, come on up. So Stephanie's been serving us for 11 years, serving me personally for 7. It's been a fantastic journey. I love her very much, and I'm going to miss her greatly. She helped keep a lot of things together that needs to be kept together around here, and we were truly honored and blessed to have her serve us. And so we as a church family, we want to thank her. We do have a love offering basket at the back, and we also are gifting her stuff as a church family that I don't have on me at the moment because I was unorganized, and it shows why I need an administrator. Carla's filling in nicely, though, and she's doing a great job. But Stephanie, come on, don't be shy. Come on. Why not? Don't be like that. I'll come down to you then. We did get you flowers, and here's a gift here. And I just want to pray for you quickly. Lord, we thank you so much for Stephanie. We thank you for her willingness to serve and just be a blessing in our community. And we just pray that as she heads out on her new journey, that she will be blessed as she finds working as an accountant and a bookkeeper elsewhere just to be a blessing. And that every place would accept her warmly and treat her as family and uplift her for the person that she is. We thank you for her hard work and for her service. And may her family be blessed. We love them so much. And we are looking forward to still continuing to see her face around here. And we just pray a blessing upon her. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess I won't get in too much trouble for that one come Wednesday. good times. Anyways, children's story time here. And this story is called A Dark Night in the Garden. In all of our children's book, we couldn't find anything that involved Palm Sunday. It was kind of crazy, so we're just moving on to the sad part, I guess. But this is like the triumphal entry. We want to focus on that, but we get a moment of dark night in the garden here, I guess. The wind was picking up now, blowing clouds across the moon, shrouding the garden in darkness. "Stay up with me," Jesus asked his friends. They said yes and waited under the olive trees, but they were tired and soon they fell asleep. Jesus walked ahead alone into the dark. He needed to talk to his heavenly Father. He knew it was time for him to die. They had planned it long ago, he and his Father. Jesus was going to take the punishment for all the wrong things anybody had ever done or ever would do. "Papa, Father," Jesus cried, and he fell to the ground. "Is there any other way to get your children back, to heal their hearts, to get rid of the poison?" But Jesus knew there was no other way. All the poison of sin was going to have to go into his own heart. God was going to pour into Jesus' heart all the sadness and brokenness in people's hearts. He was going to pour into Jesus' body all the sickness in people's bodies. God was going to have to blame his son for everything that had gone wrong. It would crush Jesus. But there was something else. Something even more horrible. When people ran away from God, they lost God. It was what happened when they ran away. Not being close to God was like a punishment. Jesus was going to take that punishment. Jesus knew what that meant. He was going to lose his Father, and that Jesus knew would break his heart in two. Violent sobs shook Jesus' whole body. Then Jesus was quiet like a lamb. "I trust you, Papa," he said. "Whatever you say, I will do." Suddenly through the trees, a glitter of starlight flashed off steel. Into the quiet garden came whispers, muffled voices, clanking metal, and the sound of boots marching. Jesus stood up. He woke his friends. "Now is the time," he said gently. "Everything that was written about me, what God has been telling his people all through the long years, it's all coming true." And into the night, with burning torches and lanterns, with swords and clubs and armor, they came, an army of soldiers. Judas led them straight to Jesus so they could arrest him. Jesus was waiting for them. Peter leapt up, took a sword, and tried to defend Jesus. He sliced off a guard's ear. Jesus immediately touched the guard and healed him. Peter, he said, this is not the way. Peter didn't realize that no army, no matter how big, could ever arrest Jesus, not unless Jesus let them. Then Jesus, who had never done anything except love people, was arrested as if he were a criminal. Jesus' friends were afraid, so they ran away and hid in the dark shadows. The guards marched Jesus off and took him to the leaders. The leaders put Jesus on trial. Are you the Son of God? They asked. I am, Jesus said. Who do you think you are to call yourself God? You must die for calling yourself the Son of God. Only the Romans were allowed to kill prisoners, so the leaders made a plan. We'll tell the Romans this man wants to be our king, and then they will crucify him. But it would be all right. It was God's plan. If it was for this reason that I was born into the world, Jesus said. All right, kids, head off downstairs, do fun things, learn lessons, and be nice to your Sunday school teachers, please. Just a note to make here, I'll probably get in trouble if I don't mention this. No LMO this upcoming Thursday due to Easter. So do not, well, you could show up, I'll be in the office, but it would just be like, hey, no LMO, and then we would talk a little bit, and that would be great. But no LMO this Thursday. And I just want to remind everybody that there are prayer cards still available, I believe, for Mike and Denise. I do have one if anyone wanted one. They are in Fiji right now. They texted me on, I think it was Friday, as they're at the airport. Mike was not feeling well, feeling a little dizzy, so we prayed. And we're just praying a blessing upon their trip, that they're continuing to get into these schools, especially that Hindu one. That's mind-blowing for me. So we continue to pray that they get into these schools and love on these kids and do amazing activities with them as they get to shout praises to Jesus. So we want to continue praying for them. Anyone else have anything we can pray about today? Oh, absolutely. Whew. What is it, 3 weeks now he's been stuck there? Almost a month. That's unbelievable. That's in Haiti that Barry's trapped in right now due to political unrest and revolt. It is not a great place to be right now, so we want to continue to uplift Barry and obviously this lady that's with him that is running out of medication or ran out. Yes. The vet school application process. Yeah, we'll definitely uplift Michaela for that. You're explaining to me that, and I'm like, wow, that is quite the process to get in. That is intense. So we definitely will lift up Michaela, for sure. Yes, Jeannie. That was on April 11th, your son's going for minor surgery. Okay. Okay, for sure. We'll pray for him. For sure. For sure. Sean.
Oh, sorry.
Russell, for sure. Remind me again about Russell, Irvin. Oh, right, right. I was just like, I'm used to that, getting that from Roxy, not from you. So I'm like, what's going on here? So fair enough. Okay. Sounds good. All right. Well, let's bring these things to the Lord and seek Him out at this time. Lord Jesus, we come to You and we honor You. We call You our King. We faithfully want to wave our palm branches and cheer You on as you march into our lives. So, Lord, we do that today. May we wave our branches like the kids were up here earlier today, and may we have excitement on our heart for who You are and for what You carried out during this Holy Week. So we thank You for that, Lord. And Lord, right now we want to bring a lot to You with regards to things that we want to praise You for and for things that we want to we just need help with right now, Lord Jesus. We just need Your hand upon us. We need Your Holy Spirit to fill us. And so we pray for Barry right now as he's still stuck in Haiti, Lord. I can't imagine how awful that would be, as almost a month now being trapped in a different country and not having easy access to medication and doctors. And so, Lord, we just pray that they're able to get Barry and his team out somehow. May the political unrest be calmed down, and may some sort of justice be brought to these angry people that are doing serious harm. Lord, we pray for that country of Haiti. We pray for Your hand to come down upon it. Reveal Yourself to them. Show them Your Holy Spirit, we pray. And Lord, we pray for the lady that's with Barry right now that is out of medication. She needs it for her pain. And so we just pray that You bring a Holy Spirit, Your Holy Spirit of peace upon her, that You would remove that pain from her life. We thank You, Jesus. And Lord, we pray for Mike and Denise as they're out in Fiji, and what a blessing it is. It's such a beautiful country, and so we just pray that health would continue to uphold for Mike and for Denise, and that Your hand would be upon all their journeys as they head to these different schools. May people turn to You in droves by hearing the gospel message, Jesus. So we thank You for Your work in Fiji. We thank You for Your work in Mike and Denise's heart. They're passionate about serving people in Your name. And so we thank You for them. And Lord, we uplift You as well for Michaela as she continues to go through the daunting process of veterinarian application. And Lord, we just pray for Your hand to fall upon her. Bring her peace and bring her a calm that is Yours. And Lord, we just pray that You open doorways, that You open paths right now, even as we pray, Lord, that schools would accept her into this position in order to aid animals. And so we thank You so much for a person who is passionate about animals in this way. May she find avenues open, and may schools open their doors for her, we pray. Lord, we pray for Jamie and for her son that's about to go for minor surgery as well. We just pray that it would be a success on April 11th, and that Your hand would guide the surgeons, and You would just be there for the family as they recover. May we as a church family come alongside them and pray for them, and really present Jesus in their lives. So we thank You. And Lord, we want to continue to pray for Russell right now. We just pray You find something, Lord. Reveal something to these doctors. Heal his body by Your hand. Lord Jesus, may your Holy Spirit cleanse his body right now. We pray that the infections and such would just go away and have no room anymore in his body as you bring in health and healing. And so we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we pray for Sean's mom as well as she continues to go through some things at this time. And we just pray for healing in her body as well. Prayer for healing for her mind, and that you would just guard her at this time. That you would allow her body to recuperate from some of the stuff that she's going through right now. So we thank you for Sean's mom. And we just pray the family can come alongside her and just be there for her at this time in the best way possible that they know. And Lord, we pray for the Mosier family, for Kyle and Kyla, for all the kids. Such a blessing to this church. And right now, during this time of spring where everything seems to be kicking off for farmers, which means everything also goes wrong for farmers at this time. We just pray for your hand to be upon that equipment. We pray for your hand to be upon those animals, the livestock as they're transported out of there. We pray for your hand to just be on this farm right now. May you bring clarity to the family as they seek out where you're leading right now, Lord Jesus. May you make it so obvious to them of where they're to be in serving you, Jesus. We just pray for your Holy Spirit to continue to fill that household and to bless those around them. And so we just pray that at this time you would also bless their crops or whatever direction you will send them off in, Jesus. Keep that equipment functioning, we pray. And Lord, we pray for Grandma Ruth's friends as well. As losing someone is always a hardship, and it's devastating, especially when it's in another country. And so we just pray for this family as they grieve. We pray for them as they mourn and they go through the whole process of losing a loved one in a shocking fashion. So, Lord Jesus, we just pray for your hand to be upon these friends and families that will be mourning the loss of a dear friend. Jesus, we bring this all in your name. Amen. All righty, so we are at a pretty exciting moment in the time of history. As you obviously saw today, it's called the Triumphal Entry, and I want to read the version that John gives us in John chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 12 to 23. So starting in verse 12, it says this: "The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.' Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, 'Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt.' At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with them when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, 'See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him.' Now there's some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who is from Bethsaida in Galilee, with the request, 'Sir,' they said, 'we would like to see Jesus.' Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now, the most known aspects of Jesus' life are obviously his birth, his death, and his resurrection. And I would say that this is up there as one of those moments in Jesus' life that people have taken note of. The triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It's the thing that we refer to as Palm Sunday. This isn't a moment of time where people are trying to cool Jesus off with these palm branches, as it may have been a hot day. No, there's great significance behind what is happening here. We are presented with Jesus the King. He is a king that is riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, which would indicate that he is a king of peace. The idea of Jesus as king, it's not a new concept, especially if we glance at Matthew's gospel, as we read in Matthew 1:1. This is the written story of the family line of Jesus the Messiah. He is the son of David. He is also the son of Abraham. He's the son of David. David's the king that is most famous in Israel. So immediately you're like, this man is a king. And John himself, he doesn't shy away from Jesus being called king. John chapter 1 verse 49 says this, Nathanael replied, Rabbi, you are the son of God. You are the king of Israel. So the king has come to Jerusalem, and he is riding on his donkey, and it's a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets, as read in Zechariah 9:9, where it says, City of Zion, be full of joy. People of Jerusalem, shout, see, your king comes to you. He always does what is right. He has won the victory. He is humble and riding on a donkey. He's sitting on a donkey's colt. And so the palm branches waving before this king, and those palm branches, they hold such great significance as well, as they were waved during a king's entry into a city after a great victory. Or it would even be used to communicate just a royal welcome. And the Maccabean works, I know a lot of you probably aren't familiar with those, but trust me, the Maccabean works indicate this on several occasions. Palm branches were also used in the throne room, as we see in John's vision in Revelation 7:9. After this, I looked, and there in front of me was a huge crowd of people. They stood in front of the throne and in front of the Lamb. There were so many that no one could count them. They came from every nation, tribe, and people. That's true, no matter what language they spoke. They were wearing white robes. In their hands, they were holding palm branches. It was a beautiful entry into the city for the King of Kings. An entry that left people desiring to see this king as well, as they desired to see Jesus Christ. And so I ask you this question today. Is Jesus someone that you desire to see? Because here's an interesting thing. Maybe you won't find it interesting, but I do. As a preacher, you see the service differently than what the congregation sees, which you all see, right? You all see the three crosses behind me there. You see the purple cloth draped upon one of them. And you also see the missions of this particular church. I have the privilege of viewing a wall, and I have this fantastic stool thing to hold all of my stuff here. But this is not the only place I've preached in my time. Some other places have had pulpits, and some have been ornate and beautiful. Some had some secret compartments and all these different looking things. Some just used a music stand. I've had the privilege of speaking from A.W. Tozer's pulpit, as it currently resides at Ambrose University. I've preached at places that had clocks at the back, and these aren't the clocks that tell you what time it is, but how much time the preacher actually has left in order to preach his sermon. As in one of those, hurry up, you need to be done at this time kind of things. And I think it's important to have reminders set up for pastors and even for you as a congregation as the person is speaking. And I say that as I think of a church who has a great reminder at the back for the pastor as they preach. A simple reminder to preach King Jesus is the quotation reads, Sir, we would see Jesus. How fantastic that would be to look back there and say, just see, sir, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. May you see Jesus today. Because this is a great word for all to hear. And I feel that all preachers of the Word of God should have these words before them as they present Jesus Christ. That we would see Jesus. Would you see Jesus? Do you see the King? Do you see His glory? Now, I'm no fool. I know that any given sermon that I give, it can be disappointing. I've had messages that have left people disappointed and feel as though they are lacking. But here's the challenge for all who listen. You will find Jesus if you seek Him. Regardless of how good the speaker is from the front or how bad they are. Look for Jesus. See Jesus. See Him in the messages that you are preached, whether you like it or not. See Him in the songs that are sung, whether you like them or not. See Him in the prayers that are prayed, whether they're for you or not. Because you will find Jesus if you seek Him. The King is here. In Luke chapter 11, verse 9 to 10, it says this, "So here's what I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Everyone who asks will receive. The one who searches will find, and the door will be opened to the one who knocks." Have you come to see Jesus today? Because today we get the privilege of thinking back to King Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem. And in doing so, the people that wanted to see Jesus. The crowds that gathered as they shouted Hosanna, as the palm branches waved and they ushered in the King of Kings. And yes, the rowdiness, it eventually died down and the crowds began to disperse. And it's at this time that some Greeks came to seek the favor of Philip. "Sir, we would like to see Jesus," they ask. And it's a pivotal moment when they ask this, and I'm going to look at that a little later on, but I just want to pause and see what Jesus' response is to this favor that was being sought out. And I find it interesting that we don't even know if these people were permitted to see Jesus, even though I have no doubts that Jesus would end up seeing them. We're only told of Jesus' verbal response to this request as Jesus says, "The time has come for the Son of Man to receive glory." And when you understand this statement, you will see Jesus. Jesus arrives in Jerusalem. He's the King. He's celebrated. And according to John, the arrival of Jesus is followed by an interaction with some Gentiles and Philip. And for all we know, this occurred on a separate day from the triumphal entry. We don't really know. But it's so significant in this triumphal entry in the kingship of Jesus. As these people just desire to see the King. These Gentiles. And the Gentiles who came to see Jesus, we're told, are Greek. They're not Hellenistic Jews. These are Greeks that came to see the great rabbi from Nazareth, Jesus Christ. And the Gentiles, they go to Philip first. We're not told why they approach Philip. It could be due to the fact that Philip had a Greek name, Philippos, which means lover of horses. Whatever it was, they approach Philip, and then Philip goes to Andrew because he's probably not very confident in going to Jesus himself. He probably has concerns about going directly to Jesus. Now, Philip and Andrew, they both have Greek names and both had come from Bethsaida. Bethsaida was a town located near a Greek area of the ancient East and is known as Syrophoenicia. Both these men finally find some courage and present this request to Jesus. And part of me is wondering why Philip didn't just go himself. But then I remember that there was some ambiguity in the actions of Jesus towards Gentiles. Think about this in Matthew 10, 5 to 6. It says this, "Jesus sent these 12 out with the following orders. Do not go among the Gentiles, he said. Do not enter any town of the Samaritans. Instead, go to the people of Israel. They are like sheep that have become lost." That doesn't sound very kind of the Gentiles. And then Jesus says this to a Syrophoenician woman in Mark 7:27. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her. "It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Yikes, Gentiles are kind of called dogs in that moment. Then there's the woman of Samaria. She's told this in John 4:22. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. Salvation comes from the Jews. But then we see the opposite, where Jesus heals the daughter of the woman earlier on, the Syrophoenician woman, and he casts out this evil spirit that had possessed his daughter. And then Jesus also went out of his way to preach to the Samaritan woman in John and to preach to her entire village as well. So you can see how there's probably some confusion from the disciples as to how to respond to these Greeks and Gentiles. And Jesus isn't bigoted in his actions or statement. He felt obligated to bring the word, to proclaim his kingdom to Israel first. It was a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, after all, as the prophecies foretold the turning to Gentiles after Israel had rejected the Messiah. So we know that Philip and Andrew, they end up informing Jesus of these Greeks, and you have to wonder what they were expecting to hear in this moment. Because I'm sure they were surprised by Jesus' answer. Maybe they expected Jesus to say something like, "Absolutely not, I'm busy. I'll not see any Greeks." Or maybe, "I would love to see them." Something along those lines. But Jesus didn't say any of those things. Instead, he seems to have looked upon the coming of the Greeks as a sign. The climax of his mission had finally come. As Jesus says this in John 12:23, "The time has come for the Son of Man to receive glory." Jesus' hour had come. It had finally come. Now think back to the many times throughout Scripture where we're told that the hour of Jesus Christ had not come. In John chapter 2, Jesus, he's at a wedding in Cana with his mother and his disciples, and the mother approaches him and confronts him with an implied request that Jesus should do something about the lack of wine at the wedding. John chapter 2, 4, he responds to her, "Dear woman, why are you telling me about this?" Jesus replied, "The time for me to show who I really am isn't here yet." Jesus, of course, he still went ahead and produced around 545 liters of the best wine, but he was saying that the hour of his crucifixion, the hour of his sacrifice, it had not come yet. And Jesus, he didn't want to draw attention to himself by means of a public miracle. Another moment occurs in John 7 where Jesus' brother pushed him towards Judea as they didn't believe in him at this time. And Jesus says this in responding to them, John chapter 7, verse 6 to 8. So Jesus told them, "The time for me to show who I really am is not here yet. For you, at any time would be the right time. The people of the world can't hate you, but they hate me. This is because I am a witness that their works are evil. You go to the feast. I'm not going up to this feast. This is because my time has not yet fully come." After he said this, he stayed in Galilee. And then we read this in John chapter 7, verse 30. When he said this, they tried to arrest him, but no one laid a hand on him. The time for him to show who he really was had not come yet. And then again, in John chapter 8, verse 20. He spoke these words while he was teaching the temple courtyard. He was near the place where the offerings were put. But no one arrested him. That's because the time for him to die had not come yet. We're told thematically throughout John's gospel that in his 3-year ministry, the time had not come yet. Jesus' time hadn't come. The king's time had not come. That changed. The triumphal entry occurred. The celebration of King Jesus, the peaceful king, has occurred, and now we have the Gentiles seeking out Jesus Christ, and it all leads to the fulfillment of Scripture and Jesus revealing the time has come for the Son of Man to receive glory. Think about how clearly this fulfills prophecy. The Pharisees, the Jews, had rejected Jesus. They rejected the triumphal entry and the king riding into Jerusalem. These men were Jews and the most highly regarded religious figures of that day. They rejected him and they wanted to kill him. John chapter 12, verse 19. Read again what the response to this moment is. So the Pharisees said to one another, "This isn't getting us anywhere. Look how the whole world is following him." Following King Jesus. But in this moment, we see these Gentiles, these foreigners to Israel, now seeking out Jesus as well. They're seeking out the king who rode into town on a donkey. And it's quite ironic, and yet exactly what the Bible tells us was going to happen, as those Pharisees were so unhappy with the crowds calling out to Jesus, with people seeking the face of the king during his triumphal entry, that they missed all the points of Scripture which had been laid out for them right from the very beginning that fulfilled the coming of the Messiah. And now the Greeks were pursuing him in order to follow this king. Jesus' time has come. And it means that the hour for the Son of Man to be glorified had come as well. One way this had been shown to us by John is the coming of Gentiles to Jesus. And to a greater extent, this means having all people come to Jesus Christ for their salvation. A lot of times, even in churches, we forget the grace that Jesus brings and how it is for the entire world, for the whole world, should a person simply believe in him. C.S. Lewis, he wrote an essay titled The Inner Ring. It's an essay aimed at people who aim for exclusivity. C.S. Lewis was bullied as a younger boy, and so he wrote this as a response to some of the bullying behavior that people develop. As people fool themselves into thinking this is how they make it, how life is meant to be, exclusive, popular, awesome, whatever it happens to be. So they shut others out and they pursue avenues which would supposedly lead to their own self-honoring. The others would see us and honor us as we're part of this inner circle. As the inner circle, it excludes others, as if to say that it is the established group and that it has status. Some days it concerns me that the church is still doing this. That we've become the inner ring. That we don't want to see new people become a part of this. Let me tell you, this is not how Jesus views humanity. As the glory of Jesus Christ consists of opening the doors wider and wider so that any man or woman may be a part of his spiritual family for believing in him. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 to 10 says, "Here's the new song they sing. You are worthy to take the scroll and break open its seals. You are worthy because you were put to death. With your blood you bought people for God. They come from every tribe, people and nation, no matter what language they speak. You have made them members of a royal family. You have made them priests to serve our God. They will rule on the earth." Do you want Jesus Christ to be glorified? If you do, then seek to help others find him. No matter what they do, no matter who they are, lead others to Jesus. We've been commanded to do so. There's so much joy to be found in bringing people to a relationship with Jesus Christ, as all people are in desperate need of the salvation that he brings. You know what? The command has already been given us to go and bring people to Jesus. A lot of times we like to use the excuse that the Holy Spirit hasn't led me. You've already been told to do it. Bring people to Jesus. Even the people you don't like very much. The other aspect of Jesus being glorified, top of bringing others to him and him being the salvation, is by way of the cross. John chapter 12, verse 23 reads, Jesus replied, "The time has come for the Son of Man to receive glory." The hour being the death of Jesus Christ, which was coming fast. This is followed by John chapter 12, verse 24 to 25, and it reads this: "What I'm about to tell you is true. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only one seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, but anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it and have eternal life." Think about what Jesus presents us with here. A grain of wheat that falls to the ground and it dies. A grain of wheat is Jesus Christ. We're being told by John that unless Jesus dies, there will be no fruit, there will be no salvation, and there will be no eternal life. No sins will be pardoned, no grace will be extended, no mercy given. We're given the picture of Jesus dying, which means many will be saved. The crucified Christ dying in the place of sinners is the only one who saves. It is only through King Jesus and only through his death that sins can be forgiven. We are saved through faith in what Jesus has done on the cross. This is Christ's glory, that he died for us, for the world. Now mind you, as he's being cheered in as king on Palm Sunday, it's for the political reasons. Little did they realize the salvific reasons that are actually behind the cheering of Jesus as he comes into Jerusalem. It's because of his salvation, because of the cross, that we should honor him. Do you honor Jesus? The best way to honor Jesus is by coming to him in faith and receiving him as your Savior. And if you know Jesus, to honor him, you need to live as he lived. You need to bring others to him. And so today, I pray that we see King Jesus. That we see him riding a donkey into town, being celebrated by the masses as the king that he is. And that we see, as Gentiles turn to him, that we turn to him and we seek him out. See Jesus, the crucified Savior, and truly know him. As to know Jesus is to love him. So we call out, Hosanna. Hosanna to the King. Join me as I pray. Lord, today we joyfully proclaim that you are the King. You are the King that came riding in on a donkey into Jerusalem, fully knowing that within a week's time you would be murdered on the cross. So we shout out praises to you today. We lift you up and we honor you. And may we pursue you with our entire being and show the world who you are on this Palm Sunday. Allow the world to see us crying out Hosanna to the King. And allow them to seek that King out, Jesus. I pray this all in your name. Amen.
Let's stand together for this last song.
Jesus, hope of the nations. Jesus, comfort for all.
Once again, the passage that we've been looking at all day. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Celebrate and see that King today. Have a great day.